Okay, we're in the Gemara Ksubis, Lamed Tesamid Aleph. I believe we finished the Mishnah at the bottom, correct? Or we didn't do the Mishnah yet. I think we did.
You went through the Mishnah.
Huh?
You went through the Mishnah.
We did through the Mishnah. Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying.
I think we did.
Okay, basically the Mishnah said it then, that the difference between somebody violated, rape, or seducing is tsar. Because the one way is no pain, one way is pain. If somebody rapes her, you have to pay the knas right away. The other time, you only have to pay the fine if you're not planning to marry her. And he says, once a person is obligated to stay married to the woman, she could be blind, crippled, full of boils, unless if it's a wife that he wouldn't be allowed to marry, because the Torah forbids, like a mom's or that, and then he's not allowed. Okay. So the Gemara says like this, Tsar Demai. The Gemara says, what is he paying pain for? In other words, like this. The Gemara says, eventually this girl, if she's a virgin, so that there's the pain the first time breaking through the psulim, as it's called the virginity. So then, but eventually it's going to happen anyway. Whoever she marries. So why is he paying tzar? Because if it doesn't happen today, whatever she gets married is going to happen. So the Gemara asks, Tzar Demai. So the Gemara says, Amar Avu de Shmuel, father of Shmuel said, it's speaking, Tzar Shechabata Gabi Karka. He threw her down on, when he raped her, he threw her down on the ground. And that was the pain that she got special that she wouldn't get from her husband. So the Gemara said, Mask of Law, Rab Zeira. So Rab Zeira said, 1 minute. El Me'ata Chabata Gabi Shiroin, if he threw her down on a bunch of silk cushions. So then he wouldn't have to pay tzad. I mean, that's not what the Mishnah says. Hachanami the potter. You're telling me he wouldn't have to pay the tzad, the pain. Even if you say, yeah, maybe true. He wouldn't have to pay the pain in that case. But it can be. But Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Eimim Mishim Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda says the name of Reb Shimon. Einis, Einim Mishalim, it's a tzad. Einis, a violator, does not pay the pain. Mipnei, Shasefel it started tachas bala. Right? It says like this. Gemara's question is, if Shimon interesting holds, even though our Mishnah said that you have to pay tzar, okay? But if Shimon says no, because eventually this girl's gonna have to go through that pain anyway. So why should he pay? It's not that he's doing it. Somebody else is gonna do it, somebody else is gonna do it anyway. So Gemara says you can't say that it speaks about pain of throwing her down and hurting her. Because Rav Shimon says, you don't pay pain because it's going to happen any through the husband. So obviously it's not, it can't be throwing down on the ground. So he says like this, Amrulay, see the answer is like this. Eina daimen nevelas ba'enas nevelas barak. They're very simple. You can't compare one who is forcibly to one that's not forcibly. There's more pain when somebody is forcibly violated than when if it's not forcibly violated. Okay, so the Gemara says that's the difference in the pain that the Mishnah is talking about. We're not talking about throwing her on the ground. We're not talking about, you know, just the bottom line is there's more pain when somebody is violated against their will versus one who is being done against, not seducing, rather than violating.
Are we talking about physical pain or emotional?
Physical pain. Oh, physical pain. The Gemara says like this, Elamed of Nachman. So the Gemara's question is, so what pain are we talking about? It can't be throwing her on the ground, because first of all, if you throw it on silk cushions, you won't have to do it. And secondly, that's not the pain, because we're talking about Rav Shimon says you don't have to pay pain, because it's going to happen to the husband anyway. So he says, it says like this, Tzasha Pisa Garaglaim. It's the pain of separating her legs. Like it said, "Vataskeni esragli chochol eved," separated your legs for every. Over there, the Gemara is talking about idol worshipping. Gemara over there is talking about idol worshipping. But the Gemara uses an analogy that the Jews were worshiping. Okay, the kid was here. You have to be careful what I was saying here.
That's how I was looking.
Okay, yeah, I was listening too much. The Gemara says like this: the Torah is screaming, the Navi is screaming at the Jews for worshipping every type of idol. And he says, you're like a woman that spreads her legs out for every man that walks by. So you see that that's the pain. So the Gemara says, Ihochi mefutanami. If that's the case, then a woman who's seduced is also painful. Why is there no pain for seducing her rather than raping her. So Amir Rav Nachman says like this. Was interesting. The Moshel de Mafuta, what's the analogy? A seducing a girl means she agreed to be with you. Is that rape? Right? Rape is tzar. Mafuta, there's no pain. So Gemara said, but if the pain is that, then it should be by even a girl that's seduced. He said, what's the analogy of it? A guy says to his friend, this is a very interesting halacha, by the way. Tear my garment and you don't have to pay. Meaning like this, a very interesting halacha. If I own something, if I own this, yeah? And I say, you know what, break it. I tell you, break it. And you break it, you have to pay for it. But if I say, break it, and you won't have to pay for it, then you don't have to pay for it. That's the halacha. So he says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Rav Nachman, the name of Rabbi Baravu, says, what's the mashal of a woman who agrees to be with the guy? Okay, he seduces her, but she agrees to be with the guy. It's like she says to him, tear me, but you don't have to pay. So therefore, there's no tzad. Even if there is tzad, even if there is, not only the rape, even the seduced girl has pain, but nevertheless, it's like she's telling him, you don't have to pay, because I'm agreeing to do it.
Right.
So that's what it's like. But the Gemara right away says, Shali. What do you mean, her? Davuna, the money goes to the father. It's the father's money. Right? A girl that you seduce, a night or goes, the money goes to the father. Right? So how could she say, tear my garment and you don't have to pay me? It's not her, you have to pay the father. She can't say, tear my father's garment and you don't have to pay. So why wouldn't they have to pay? So Gemara says, El Omer, Rav Nachum, Omer Ravu, like this. Pichin Sheben Eimnins, the smart women used to say, Mefuta Ein Latzar. A girl that agrees to have intimacy doesn't have pain. She doesn't have pain. So the Gemara asks, V'akachazin in the Isla, but we see that she does have pain. The fact is, there's pain. Because don't forget, she's a nidah, she's still a virgin. Right? So Gemara says, Amr Abaya said like this, Amr Ali Aim, mother told me, since he always brings it down, Abaya didn't have a mother or father. Abaya was an orphan. He was raised by a nurse. Some people say he was raised by Rabba. The famous Rabba the Gemara was Abaya's uncle. So after Abaya's parents, his mother died when he was born and his father died before he was born. And therefore he was called Abaya, which stands for Asher Becho Yerucham Yosem. Why was he called, where does the name Abaya come from? It's a funny name. So it says, Aleph Beis Yud Yud is the Rosh HaTevis Asher Becho, with through you, Yerucham, there'll be pity on Yosem, on the orphan. So he called him Abaya. But Abaya had this nurse that raised him, and he always called her Aim, called her mother, and a lot of practical home economics things in the Gemara, Abaya quotes from his mother. He's going to quote some more stuff also from the mother. Yeah? So he says like this, Amr li Aim, my mother told me, the pain that a woman experiences if she's seduced, not raped, is kamaya chamima areisha dekorcha, like hot water on the head of a bald person. Meaning, it's not that bad. You pour hot water on a bald guy, it's not so bad. Or Rava Amar, or Rava said, Amali Basar Rav Chista, the daughter of Rav Chista told me, meaning like this, Rava's wife was Rav Chista's daughter. It's interesting, he spoke in third person. Rav Chista's daughter told me, meaning my wife told me, that it's kirivda de chesulta. It's like the lancet puncture of a blood letter. You know when they take blood?
Yeah.
It's not a big pain. It's very little. Come on. Or Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa said, Amali Basaba Surah, The daughter of Abba Sarah, meaning his wife, was the daughter of Abba Sarah, said to him, "Ki nama kushe bechinchi." It's like hard bread rubbing against one's palate in the mouth. In other words, the Gemara's question is, why is there no pain by seducing versus rape? Everybody understands by rape there's pain. Because your girl doesn't want, you're forcing her. But so Gemara says, you know why there's no tsar? Even though there is a little bit of pain. All these opinions basically saying one point. Yes, there's a little bit of pain, but it's so minimal that it really doesn't matter. And therefore the Torah doesn't obligate the guy that seduces her to pay pain. Like the Mishnah said, he only pays three things, he doesn't pay four things, he doesn't pay pain, unlike the rapist that pays for pain. Okay. So now, then the Mishnah said another din. What's another difference between violator and the seducer? Ha'enis neisim miyad. The violator, the guy that rapes her, has to pay the fine right away. The seducer, the Torah says like this. If you want, if she wants, you can marry her. If she wants. Okay? But then you don't pay the fine. You know, a rapist, the rapist has to pay the fine, and he must marry the girl, unless she's not allowed to be married to him, like the Mishnah said, right?
Or don't want to.
Oh, she does. But in the case, it's interesting. In the case of the rapist, the Gemara never says she doesn't want to. Because in the olden times, nobody would touch a girl that was raped. It was blemished goods, and she would be stuck without being married, and she didn't want that. Okay. Obviously, if she didn't want to, yeah, he didn't have to marry her. So the Gemara says, so it says like this, the mefate pays the seducer only when he sends her away. Now normally, in Torah, yaitzi means when you divorce her. Yaitzi means, like the Gemara, yaitzi v'yitin get. Okay? So the Gemara says, seducer, ishtehi, it's his wife. I mean, the Gemara's question, it's not even his wife yet. If the seducer marries her, there's no knas. He's marrying her. Right? And when is there a fine? If he doesn't want to marry the girl. Or the girl doesn't want to marry him. So what do you mean, when you give a get, you pay the fine? She's not married to him yet. How can you say the word yaitzi to give a get? Yaitzi normally means to give a get. But how can it mean give a get if he's not married to her yet? So the Gemara answers, no. Abai emesh shalei yichnes. Not when he marries her, divorces her. When he says, you know, I don't want to marry you. That's what it means, yaitzi. Yaitzi doesn't mean when he's divorcing her, because they're not even married yet. Yaitzi means when I don't want to marry you, then he has to pay, the fine. Tanya namahachi. Okay, so Gemara says, so we taka learned. Afa pisha amru. Hamafata nesin. Lech shalai yichneis. Even though the Bryce says like this. Even though the seducer pays the fine when he doesn't marry her. But beisha subagam. But shame and blemish depreciation. Nesin miyadi pays right away. Meaning like this. The Mishnah said the seducer pays three things. The fine, if he doesn't want to marry her. He pays her embarrassment. It's humiliated that he was with her. And depreciation. Because now she's not a virgin. She's used goods. Right? So she's not a virgin. So those two you pay right away. As soon as he did it, he pays her. The fine, he pays when he says, I don't want to marry you. That's what the Gemara is saying. The echad einus, the echad mefata, by the way, whether the girl was raped or seduced, bein he bein avia yichelim la'akiv, can prevent the marriage from taking place. Meaning like this: the girl cannot marry the guy if she doesn't want, and the father cannot have her marry the guy if he doesn't want. Okay, even though he's obligated to marry her. But again, either one, seducer or the rapist, if the girl or the father don't want to marry the guy, they can stop it.
You, the father, can stop it?
No. The interesting, they bring out the bottom, the Rishonim are just the opposite. The girl is 12. She's not 12 and a half yet. The father can marry off whoever he wants. Right? The din that a father can marry off his minor girl through 12 and a half, a father can marry off his daughter even if she doesn't want to. That's the halacha, the Torah says. Okay? So what happens if the girl doesn't want the marriage to this seducer or rapist, and the father says, yes, I do. So the Braisa says they can both stop it. Either one.
Right.
So the Yishenim asks, what do you mean? How could the girl stop it? If the father wants the Shidduch, he can marry off to anybody in the world. Right?
What if the girl doesn't want it though?
But again, it doesn't matter. The father has the right to marry off his daughter against her will.
Under 12.
No, because she didn't protect her, right? Huh? He didn't protect her, so it goes out of her hand.
So they answer, Tesis over here answers an interesting answer. It says, Tesis, Tema, Luri, Luri asks, how could she stop? The father can marry off to whoever he wants. So it says, if she doesn't want the marriage, even though the father's doing it, she can make the guy pay the fine. It's interesting what Tesis answers. Tesis is asking a very powerful question. Mm-hmm. The Braisa says whether the girl is raped or seduced, the girl or the father can stop it. And we're talking about a katana or a naira, because over 12 and a half, there's no more fine. There's no more knas, right? We learned before, there's no knas. So it's either a girl under 12 or 12 to 12 and a half, where the father has the complete jurisdiction over the girl. So how can the Braisa say the girl or the father can stop this marriage if they want? How could the girl stop it if the father wants it? Yeah? So Taisa answered a very interesting answer. Taisa says, the girl can't stop the marriage, because if the father wants, tough luck. But by saying she doesn't want the marriage, she forces the guy, the seducer, to pay the fine, even though normally if the seducer marries the girl, he doesn't pay the fine. It's only when he doesn't want to marry her. The seducer, not the rapist. The seducer. So then over here, because the girl doesn't want the marriage, so even though the marriage is going to happen, because the father has the right, the guy would have to pay her the fine.
But he wouldn't pay it to her. He
would
pay it to
the father.
Yeah. That's interesting, because she stopped the marriage.
Make him pay the fine.
She can make him pay the fine.
Double jeopardy.
He's got a header in the moment.
Rabbi?
Somebody suggests that is speaking at or either she's an orphan, that means she can stop it or the father can stop it. If there's no father, she can stop it. It's a much simpler answer. Or Taisa says it could be another case. Remember we learned before in the Gemara, it happened when she was 12, and until the court fined them, she was over 12 and a half already. And then she gets the money, or nobody gets the money, whatever. So then you say that could be the case here also. So there's a few answers to the question. But Taisa's first answer is a very interesting answer. Taisa says she can't stop the marriage, but she can cause the guy to make a fine. Which is interesting, because the father and the daughter can make in cahoops over here. Mm-hmm. The father will tell the girl, even though the girl likes the guy, yeah? The father will tell the girl, no, say you don't.
We'll make him pay,
and we'll split the money.
Anyway.
Yeah. Huh?
He doesn't have to split money with her, though. He can keep money for himself.
Right, but the father, the girl has to go along.
Yeah.
The girl that gets married under the age of 12, when she turns 8, can't she have the right to get out of the marriage? Not if the father marries her.
If a father marries a 3-year-old girl, over 3, you can marry her off, she's stuck for life, unless she gets a get.
Okay.
The only case, what's called miun, is if there's no father, father died, and the brothers or the mother marry her off, So then when she turns 12, she could do me and refuse. It means I don't want to stay married, and that's it. She's over. She doesn't need to get. But if the father does it, it's
she
permanent.
Okay.
In fact, there's stories. It happened years ago in New York. You know, the story, a wife didn't want to take a get. You know, the stories in the wife, husband wants to give a get to wife. Doesn't want vice versa. You know, all the stories are going on. So there are certain fathers that threatened that I'm going to marry off the girl. They had kids. So the father said, you know what? You don't get the get. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to marry off the kid. I'm going to accept kedushin from somebody for the kid. You do not know who it is. And the girl will not get married for the rest of her life. It was blackmail. And so what the father did? The father threatened, I don't know if he did it or not, but he threatened that he's going to marry off the girl to somebody. He won't tell anybody who the girl's got engaged to. The girl doesn't even know. Because the father can accept a kedusha without the girl even knowing about it. Right? So the father says, you're not taking get? Okay, I'm going to get back at you. Your daughter, our daughter, but your daughter will not be able to marry for the rest of her life.
A woman can refuse to take a get?
Huh?
A woman can refuse to take a get?
Nowadays they do. No, in the time of the Gemara, they threw it at her. Against her will, she was divorced. But now the Mr. Rabbeinu Gershom said that yes, they can only divorce willingly.
When did this happen?
Huh?
When did this happen?
1,000 years ago. Mm. What?
Your grandfather did.
The casehold example I'm going to throw in is, you know, with Rivka, when Eliezer came, and he said, will you go, Betuel said...
But Eliezer was the shliach of Avram.
Okay.
So when Eliezer did the Kedushin,
yeah.
Avram did the Kedushin.
Correct.
Okay, so then the father married off.
Father married.
The father sent the shliach.
I know, but she could have refused.
No.
She couldn't have refused.
Yeah, the girl could refuse.
Right.
But it wasn't Avram's daughter.
No, it's Betuel's
daughter.
That was the case before we're talking about. With the,
wait a minute, can I ask you a question now?
Betuel, what the truth is, Betuel said, let's ask the girl and see what she wants. Right. Well, according to Rashi, she was 12. She was 12. But bottom line is that, yeah, technically the father could have accepted Kedushin for her. Before Matan Torah anyway. But the fact that she said, let's ask the girl, teaches us a din that generally, by Kedushin, the girl has to be agreed to. But now the father does the Kedushin.
What guy would marry her? Three-year-old girl.
What are you talking about?
You know, the father won't give a get.
No, won't. The wife won't take the get.
Won't take the get. But I thought you mentioned, it was not the father you mentioned.
Yeah. The father wants to give a get. The woman doesn't want to take a get.
Okay.
So the father says, okay, I'm going to get back at you.
But can he do that?
Why can't he do it?
Because the wife doesn't want to accept a get. She doesn't accept it if she doesn't want it.
I understand, but he's messing her up through the daughter. Which mother doesn't want to marry off that the kid can't get married for the rest of her life?
But it's to a detriment not to accept the kid, because he can always go and marry somebody else.
Yeah, but Rabbeinu Gershom stopped that also, two wives.
People always don't do what's to their benefit.
Huh?
People always don't do what's to their benefit.
Saves us a lot of headache.
Rabbi, can a woman give a get to her husband?
She could, but it's worthless.
It's worth it, really?
Who got who? When the man does the... That's the people don't understand this point.
Yeah.
The husband does kedushin with the wife. By giving it a ring, she becomes his. Okay? Can the free... I'm using the word slave and master, but I don't mean the woman's a slave. If anything, the husband is. But... can a slave say to the master, you're not my master anymore? The master can say to the slave, you're not my slave anymore. But the slave can't say to the master, guess what, you're not my boss anymore. The woman is subjugated to the husband. He acquired her. She can't say to the husband, you're not mine anymore. Doesn't work.
So yes, you heard the get all right. The time. Okay. But if she says, "I want a divorce," or you know, she has to tell him.
So now the Gemara says like this. Now, what did it say? That the last thing the Braisa said, that whether the violator or the seducer, yeah, in both cases, she or the father can not get married to the guy. So Gemara says, Bishlema Mafuta, by Mafuta, by the girl that she was seduced. I know, the Pasuk says clearly, Imoin Yameina Vialitala. The Pasuk says, what happened by the seducer case? The father refuses to give him to the girl. He refuses the girl to get married to this guy. So then you have to pay the fine, right? That's what the Torah says. So, but who does the refusal? The father. Here we said both. Gemara says, "Ainly alavi, I only know the father. He atma. How do we know by a seducer that the girl herself can say no? Because the pasuk says, "Imoin yimoin avia." There's an extra. The Torah says the word "moin" refusing twice, right? One to teach us the father, he could refuse the marriage, and one that the girl could refuse the marriage. So then I know. How do we know by anus? Okay, how do we know the father and the girl can stop the marriage? It says like this: Bishleimei, the girl I know she could, because it says v'lei tzi yaliisha, that she shall be a wife for him, meaning midaitu, she has to agree to it. Tihiya means she wants to be, yeah. Ela via minolon. How do we know the father can stop the marriage of the rapist? By seducer, the Torah says clearly, Ma'ain yema'ain avia. So the Torah says clearly the father could refuse. The extra word yema'ain teaches us, the girl could also refuse. Okay? But by the guy that violates her, it just says, V'lai sihi al-isha, to him she'll be a wife. Tia means that she wants to be his wife. That she could stop it. Where do we learn out the father can stop the wedding of the violator? If the father doesn't want it. And the girl wants it, let's say. How do we know the father could stop it? He doesn't say. So Abaye says very simple. The reason is, logic says, Shelo yehei chayta nisker, sinner should not profit from a sin. Okay? Meaning like this. The father could have refused before the guy raped her. Yeah? The father could have stopped his daughter from marrying that guy. Okay, by the way, this is not as uncommon as you think it is. A girl is dating a guy. Yeah? Girl is dating a guy. What else is new? Parents don't like the guy. Typical scenario, right? Now, then they're dating, so the guy rapes the girl. It happens, right? They date and they rape. It's called date rape. Yeah? Now, we know the girl can stop marrying if she doesn't want, because it says she has to want to become his wife. But the Gemara's question, how can the father stop it? Yeah? So Abaye says very simple. Before he raped her, could the father stop her from marrying the girl? From the guy? Because the Kedushin, only he could do. The girl's too young. She's not 12. Only the father could do the Kedushin. So if he doesn't want, it's not going to happen. Right? So if the father could stop it before the rape, now that he raped her, he can't stop it. That means the rapist gained.
He has upper hand.
He has upper hand now. Yeah. Before the rape, the father could have stopped it. Now he raped her, the father can't stop it.
Right now.
So, that's logic. Then the sinner is gaining. Somebody says, you can't have that. Somebody says, logically the father could stop it. Because if he stopped it before, why can't he stop it now? So you know, it would be, according to, without this logic, it would be a very interesting thing. A guy's dating a girl. Listen to the scenario. A guy's dating a girl. He
under
knows 12. The father hates his guts.
Under 12.
Under 12.
Yeah.
Yeah? He's dating the girl. He wants to marry the girl. The father's against him. He has a way out. Break the girl. And he's stuck. Right? And the girl wants, let's say. The girl wants to marry the guy. So Abaye says that they can't do that. Because before he raped her, his father could stop the marriage, and now he can't. So the rape is gained. You can't say that. Rabbi says another reason. It's a kavod chomer. He says like this. If the seducer, the father could stop, for sure the rapist, the father could stop. He says, Ma mefata, shloyover ala dasa vil bovad. By the seducer, he never went against the will of the girl because the girl agreed to it. He only went against the will of the father. Bein he or bein aviyah chelin lakiv, whether she or the father can stop it. Einus, but a rape, violation. Che'over al-das aviyah val-das atmo, where he did against both of them. And loikol shekein. If for sure he could stop it. Okay? So the Gemara says there's two reasons why if a guy violated and raped a girl, the father and the girl could stop it. Okay? By seducing, there's a pasuk, yomayin, yomayin, aviyah. So the pasuk says, the father could, the extra mayin means the girl could. Seducer, we know she could stop it because it says she has to agree to be his wife. How do we know the father could stop it? So Abaye said, because otherwise the rapist is sinning and gaining. And Rava says it's a kol shekein. If the seducer, the father can stop, the rapist for sure the father could stop. Right, that's what the Gemara says. So Gemara says, Rava l'yama kabaya. Why doesn't Rava agree with Abaye? Abaye has a very good logic. The guy is gaining by sinning. So Abaye, no, he says no. Kivin the kamashalim knas, he still has to pay, the violator still has to pay the fine. So Leichaita Niski is not considered a profitable sinner. Because he still has to pay the fine. Right? Abaye le'ama k'rava. Why doesn't Abaye say like Rava, it's a kavachimir? He says, Mefati yumatim ma'akiv. Because in the case of the seducer, because the girl is able to stop it, the guy that seduced the girl can stop the marriage. If he doesn't want to marry her, he pays her the fine and that's it. Because he didn't rape her, he seduced her. Right? Because the father can also stop it. Because if the seducer could, then the father could stop it. But in the case of rape, the eel where the violator cannot prevent the marriage, he's stuck for life with the girl. So the father also can't prevent the marriage. The Gemara is basically saying there's two reasons why the father can stop the marriage. One Abaye's reason and one Rava's reason. And the Gemara just explained why Abaye doesn't like Rava's reason and Rava doesn't like Abaye's reason. Okay? But they're both valid reasons why the father can stop the guy from marrying the girl. What?
I don't understand why Rava, the first why Abaye doesn't like Rava's reason.
Abaye doesn't like Rava, he says, because it's not a kavachemer. What was the kavachemer of Rava? Rava said, if by seducing, well, you went against the father, but not against the girl. Right? Seducing, the girl wanted it.
Right.
The father didn't.
Right.
The father could stop it. So when you go against both of them, the father and the girl by rape, for sure the father can stop it. So he says that's not a valid thing. Why? Because by seducing, the seducer can also stop the marriage if he wants. He doesn't have to marry her.
You just pay the fine.
Because pay the fine and that's it. He didn't rape her.
Oh, he's okay.
Seduced. If he doesn't want to marry the girl, he doesn't have to. He has to pay the fine.
So what does that mean? He doesn't gain from it. He doesn't.
No, Abaye said, by the case of the rapist, if the father can't stop it, then the sinner is gaining.
Right.
Because before the father could stop it, now he can't. Right? But Abravah says that's not necessarily correct. So each one didn't like the other.
But how's he gaining? He has to pay a kanas.
That's what Rava said. But Abaye said he's gaining in the fact that before the father couldn't stop him. Good. I mean, the father could stop him, and now the father cannot stop him. Oh, he's talking monetary. He's talking a saying. Was
the father's against the guy from before, and then he raped her so that he'd have to marry her. You know, now it seems like he should be able to marry her, regardless of what the father said.
Okay.
And he said, well, if the father could, you know, object to it before, you know, you can let the rapist prosper afterwards and marry the girl. Against the father's will. Does that make...
No, I'll go for it.
Yeah, no, that's what we said, no? It's two separate things, basically. There's one thing about the monetary.
Right.
The Rava says he's not gaining because he has to pay a fine anyway. But Abaye says he is gaining because before the father could stop the marriage, before he raped her. And now that he raped her, the father, if you're telling me the father can't stop the marriage, so then the rapist is gaining.
Because he wants to marry the girl.
Marry the girl.
No, that I understand. Okay. Yeah.
That's the game.
The game is that he
gets the girl.
He gets the girl, okay. Yeah.
And before he raped her, he didn't get the girl because the father would have stopped it.
So
that's his profit.
Okay. No, but there's a few interesting concepts over here that we got in the Gemara that are pretty practical about tearing something, you know, break my thing. And in civil law, it doesn't work like that, by the way. If you tell somebody, break my thing, and he does, you don't have to pay for it. But in Torah, you do have to pay for it. Unless, if the guy says, break it, and you don't have to pay for it.
Really? Why would he have to, what?
In Torah law.
Torah law, if you tell someone to break it, and he breaks it, he has to pay for it?
Yeah, I didn't tell you that you don't have to pay for it.
I understand, because it's just assumed.
If you tell the guy you don't have to pay for it, the guy has to pay for it.
I'll give you an example. If I own a restaurant, yeah, I see you in the streets, I say, oh, you're a friend of mine. Oh, come into the restaurant and eat. Right. Yeah?
Yeah?
And you eat. Mm-hmm. Can I give you a bill?
Yes.
But I didn't come into the restaurant. You invited me in to eat.
You can give me a bill. It would be nice, but you can give me a bill.
I'm saying halachically, would you have to pay for it?
Yeah.
Who's paying for this?
But what happens if they say, come into the restaurant, it's on the house? Then you don't have to pay.
Oh, he never said that. Oh, the guy said, oh.
But here's the thing, it's kind of like, that's one hand.
Well, you say,
it's
first
assumed that it's free, but when someone's asking you to break it,
that's not halachic.
You want them to break it.
No. In fact, the Gemara Taisus asks the question, when the girl, he says she's seducing, so it's like, the Gemara likens it, tear my clothing, and you don't have to pay for it. But the girl never said you don't have to pay for it. But he says to be her behavior, by being seduced by him, and being with him willingly, is saying basically you don't have to pay for it.
That's another thing, like a prostitute. I mean, she's
I understand.
I mean, it's not that, I mean, she seduced her. I mean, I'm saying like a...
Yeah, but she willingly was willing.
I mean, it's not that level of prostitution where she's actually saying, you know.
It is.
In a way.
Okay. Tanya Idach, we learned in another braisa. Even though we said the rapist pays her the fine right away, whether he marries her or not. She yaitzi, but when he divorces her, Ein lo olav klum. She has no claim to him for a ksuba. The guy rapes a girl. Okay, he has to marry her. Okay, and he pays the fine for raping her. Now he divorces her. He's not allowed to, but he did. Okay? Does she get a ksuba?
The fine for the ksuba.
Monetary. He's not allowed to divorce her, by the way.
Oh.
Okay. Nobody comes about this. Okay. Now the Gemara says sheyetsi, but the Gemara says 1 minute. He's never allowed to divorce her. Right? The Torah says clearly, if you rape a girl, she becomes his wife, he cannot set divorce her for the rest of her life. Okay? So the Gemara said it didn't like this. If a guy rapes a girl, even though he paid the fine right away, when he divorces her, there's no ksuba. So the Gemara said, what do you mean divorce her? He's not allowed to, he can't divorce her. That's what the Gemara says. Kshiyetzi, mi matzim apikli.
What if she has
one minute? One second. The Gemara's gonna answer. Mi matzim apikli. He can't divorce her. He's not allowed to divorce her. How you tell me it didn't? If he divorces her, she doesn't get a ksuba. Which means he could divorce her. But the Torah says he can't divorce her. So the Gemara said, no, if she decides to leave the marriage. Kshiyetzi, he ain't like olav klum. Okay? Meaning like this. The din is of the violator, the rapist, he's not allowed to divorce the wife. That's only if she doesn't want to get divorced. If the girl doesn't like the guy, even if he marries her, she can ask for, that's the halacha. When the Torah says he cannot divorce her because he raped her, that's only if she wants to stay married to him. But if she doesn't want to get married to him, stay married to him, at any time she could tell the husband, I want to get. And he'll give her a get.
He refuses.
No, then not.
What?
He's allowed to. He doesn't have to divorce her.
So if she, even if she wants, he's not obligated to
give her
the get.
No.
Rabbi, what if?
What's that? But now the question is, does she get the money for the ksuba?
If he gives a get.
Yeah. If a woman comes to the husband, regular marriage, yeah? The woman comes and you know what? We're over. We're done. Give me a get. And he gives her a get. He has to pay ksuba. Right? Here this din says...
What's the shiloh?
The guy raped the girl. He paid the fine for raping her.
Yeah.
Okay?
So
he stuck marrying her for life.
She wanted
a get afterwards. So he gives her a get.
So why shouldn't he be
Does
allowed?
He have to pay the ksuba?
Why not?
So the din is, he doesn't have to pay the ksuba.
What? Why?
And, 1 minute. Ain la all of klum. She has no claim of ksuba whatsoever. Okay?
Doesn't seem very logical.
You'll soon find out why.
Okay.
Trust me, it's logical.
Okay.
So Gemara says, to finish quoting the Braisa, before we finish it, says, Mace, what happens if the violator died before the wife? Yata kesef kenasa b'ksubasa. The money he paid for the fine is good enough for the ksubim.
How does that benefit her?
1 minute. Rabbi Yehuda Emer, yesh to ksuba mana. She does get a ksuba of a mana of $100 like a non-virgin girl. Because by the way, when he married her,
yeah. She
wasn't virgin anymore because of him, but it doesn't matter. Okay? This is the Braisa. So the Braisa says that if the girl was raped and the fine was paid, and she initiated the divorce, and he gives her a get, there's no ksuba. Okay?
When he paid the fine, did it go to her or her father?
It depends, usually the father. It doesn't matter.
So
doesn't matter. The father got it. What happens if the guy died, instead of giving her a get? He died. Does she get anything now from the ksuba? Normally the husband dies, the wife gets a ksuba, right? The bride says no. The first opinion says, the money he paid for the fine covers the ksuba. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, no. She gets a normal ksuba, $100. Like a non-virgin girl.
Wait, if he dies, who pays it to her?
The heirs.
Oh, his, oh, her heirs.
The estate, his the heirs. Okay. And in normal case, if a husband dies, who pays the ksuba? The estate. The kids, the estate. Who was it?
Okay.
Yeah. No, they have to pay the ksuba. Okay, so now the interesting thing is like this. Chachamim hold basically no ksuba. If he divorces her, she gets no ksuba. If he dies, there's no ksuba. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says there's a ksuba of 100. Right? She does get something. So Gemara asks, but Michael Meflig, what's the argument? And here's an interesting argument. Rabban and Savri, Chachamim hold, there's no ksuba here. Why isn't there a ksuba? Time amai tkinu Rabban and ksuba, why did the Chachamim b'chlal institute a ksuba? According to most opinion, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, by the way, ksuba is rabbinic. According to most Rishonim, ksuba is, I rewrite in the ksuba, the Chaz Lechim and the Raisa, Tosis explains what that means. Bottom line is, ksuba is an enactment of the Chachamim. The whole concept of a ksuba. Torah doesn't talk about, Torah speaks about marriage, Torah speaks about divorce, it never talks about ksuba. Right? Doesn't talk about ksuba. Ksuba is a rabbinic concept. Why? Because the Chacham said like this. We don't want a man just divorcing his wife whenever he wants. If you don't have to pay, to use modern language, alimony, and you don't have to pay anything, okay, no ksuba, no alimony, no nothing, why should a guy not divorce his wife? So the whole ksuba, by the way, was a chachamim's takana for the benefit of the woman. That the woman shouldn't just be thrown out. Okay? Now listen carefully. If the purpose of the ksuba is that a guy shouldn't divorce his wife, yeah? If there's a case where he can't divorce her anyway, what do you need a ksuba for?
So that's nothing to do with the benefit.
The whole purpose of a ksuba is to prevent divorcing the wife. In this case, the Torah says he can't divorce your wife. So why should he need a ksuba? The reason for ksuba doesn't apply.
So it's nothing to do with benefiting her. It's just to do with
preventing him. It's benefiting her that he wouldn't divorce her.
Right. In this case, she wants to
divorce. But no, but in the case where the Torah says he can't divorce.
Wait a minute, it doesn't make sense. Because if he raped her, now it's saying that if he makes a decision to divorce her, how's that?
No, he can't. She.
Oh, he can't.
No.
He
wants to divorce. Okay. She wants the divorce.
Yeah, right.
He's not allowed to divorce her. Right. The whole purpose of ksuba is that a husband shouldn't throw out his wife.
Right.
Can you imagine? Just think about it. A guy's married. Yeah. And, you know, today in America, your divorce is 50-50 community property. Or even a ksuba is a substantial amount of money in the time of the Gemara, yeah? So you just picture a guy has no obligation for the wife if he divorces her. Why shouldn't he divorce her? Why shouldn't he? But therefore, if it's for the benefit that the woman shouldn't get divorced, if the woman can't get divorced, as she chooses to get divorced, so okay, so she forfeits the ksuba. Why should, the Chacham said, why should she get a ksuba? He paid her the fine, right? So why should she get a ksuba? Why does Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Yehuda say?
So why does he say, yeah?
So why does he say she doesn't get a ksuba? He says like this. You know what happened? It's the Gemara says, you know what happened over here? Yes, she wanted to get. Yeah? Why did she want to get? He made her life so miserable that she said, yeah, I want out. So then there is a place for a ksuba here. That the husband shouldn't do that. Can you imagine? Okay, just picture the scenario. It's talking an interesting scenario. The guy rapes the girl. Torah says, okay, you know what? You're stuck with her for life. But we know that, look, if she wants, she can get the get. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So what's the husband going to do if he has any brains? Miserable. Make her life so miserable that she'll want to
get out.
So what's stopping him from doing it?
Exactly.
So basically, Rabbi Yehuda says, if there's no ksuba, why shouldn't the guy do it? But now that the Chacham say there is a ksuba, he won't make her so miserable that she should want out.
So is there, what is that, the final?
So that's the argument.
Makes sense.
No, there's two opinions. Chacham say, but the halacha is like the Chacham. The majority opinion. Chachamim say there's no ksuba, because the whole purpose of ksuba is that you shouldn't be able to divorce your wife. Yeah? In this case, he can't divorce her anyway. This that she wants, that's her business. So the kanas, no, but the kanas, therefore, okay? Okay. Now, the Gemara says like this. The last difference the Mishnah said between the violator who raped her and the seducer is the violator must stay married to her, and the seducer, if he wants to pay the fine and not marry her. Right? So it says like this. I understand what the remember the Mishnah also said even if she's ugly and crippled and blind and everything under the sun, he has to stay married to her. Right? It says like this. Ayin Ashayt Sabatzitze, he drinks from his pot. Mean, and the seducer can send her away if he pays the fine. Amalei Rava mi Parzakia le Ravashi, Rava from Parzakia said to Ravashi, Michti. Mig megon mi ma'adodi, we learn out the dinim. Before, the Gemara said, a gzeira shava between the rapist and the seducer. We learn out one din from the next, yeah? So he says, Laha mil sanami ligmara. So why can't we learn out for this din that should have the same din? Before the Gemara learned, yeah, like he pays $50, 50 coins, we learn out one from the next. We learn out the dinim of seducer and violator from each other. So Gemara says, let us learn out this din also. That just like the violator has to stay married to the girl, maybe the seducer should also have to stay married to the girl. Maybe that's the halacha. He says no. Because by the seducer it says, Mohar yimareno loy liisha. He provided a marriage with his, loy means with his consent. So by him, the Torah says he has to consent. By the rapist, the Torah doesn't say consent. Meaning like this, even though we're learning out one din from the next, but by seducer, the Torah says he has to willingly marry her. Him. Which means the other guy, even against his will, has to marry her. Because a separate pasuk by seducer, Torah says he has to marry her. I mean, he could marry her. But only he could marry her. The other one has to marry her.
Right, if the woman does, by the onus, if the woman doesn't want to marry him, she doesn't have to marry him?
No.
If, let's say
that's her, what he said.
Yeah, if her or the father, let's say they don't want her.
No, that's what Mara said, both can stop it.
Both can stop
it. Right. Okay, let's just finish up to the Mishnah. Then it says like this, Keita Sheitze Batsitze, how does he drink from his flower plot? Meaning, even if she was ugly and everything, he has to marry her, yeah? Amen of Kahanem. I said this din to Rav Zvid in Nardor. And I asked him the following question. It says like this. If the girl's a mamzer, he cannot marry her. Right? He has to marry her unless if the girl's forbidden. That's what the Mishnah said. Remember? The girl's a mamzer. Let's take that case, yeah? He raped the mamzer. A girl's a mamzer, so he's not allowed to marry her, so therefore he doesn't marry her, yeah? So he said like this, we know a rule in halacha, a positive mitzvah pushes off a negative mitzvah. Correct? Now, there's a positive mitzvah over here, marry her. There's a negative mitzvah, don't marry a mamzer.
Oh.
Why doesn't the positive mitzvah of marrying her that you must marry her, push off the negative commandment that you can't marry a mamzer? So L'chayla, he's asking, why does the Mishnah say if it's a mamzer or not a kosher girl, you can't marry her? Why not? Let the positive mitzvah push off the negative mitzvah. Amali said to me like this, he answered me, Hey, chamininin ne'ese'esevinit chalei sasa, where do we say a positive mitzvah pushes off a negative mitzvah? Is the case of Mila B'tzeras. Okay, we learned like this. Yeah, a few minutes, okay. What, you know where we learn out the source? The Gemara Yevamis, the beginning, talks about all about Esel Dechaleisas. There's a din in the Torah. If you have leprosy, you're not allowed to cut it off. It says a negative commentary, you can't cut off leprosy. So now the question is like this. Somebody has leprosy on their bris area. And the guy needs a bris. So now, if you do the mitzvah bris, you're transgressing the negative commandment of cutting off the leprosy. So what do? So the Gemara says, Esa deicha leisasa, deposits the mitzvah of a bris, pushes off the negative mitzvah of not cutting it off. So you do the bris even though you're cutting it off. Yeah? He said, but that's different. Why? You can't keep the positive mitzvah unless if you do the negative mitzvah. You can't do a bris. It's impossible to do the positive mitzvah unless you do the daveda, cutting off the leprosy. But here, the guy doesn't have to marry her. The girl can say no. In other words, the answer is like this. When does a positive mitzvah push off a negative mitzvah? Where you cannot do the positive mitzvah unless if you desecrate the negative mitzvah. Like bris milah with the leprosy. But over here the Torah says you must marry her. Yeah? Doesn't have to happen. She could say no. She could say no. She says, Aval hacha I amina delay beina, if she says I don't want. Me'isel, I say, cloud, there's no mitzvah at all. Right? So therefore, what do we do? The Gemara says, we tell the girl to say, I don't want to marry him. If the girl's a mamzer, we tell the girl to say, not to. Would be interesting though, it's not for now, but what would be if the girl said, no, I do want to marry him.
That's how I said.
Because she's a mamzer, she can't marry anybody.
Right, yeah.
No, but we don't let her.
I was thinking that it's doche. I mean, the lotah says because it's a sin.
No, he says like this. The point the Shainim explained very simply. Yeah. Mitzvah mila is a mitzvah you must do. Yeah. Right? Yeah. There's no way out.
Right.
Okay. Marrying this girl, there's a way out. If she says no. Mm-hmm. So it's not a very powerful obligatory positive mitzvah to marry her, because technically there's a way of not marrying her if she says no. There's never a way of not doing a bris.
Right.
So over there, the positive mitzvah pushes off the negative mitzvah.
But how could a lotah say doche and ase? If it's going to be a sin, to marry a mamzer is a vera.
But here the Torah says you must marry her.
I know, but if it's a mamzer, how can you do it?
But because the Torah says you must. So my answer is it's not a must. Because the girl could say no, so you don't must marry her.